message in the music.
I'm Henry Lynn.
And I'm Barnett Zittrin.
And welcome to Better World.
Better World is a podcast about badass people doing really good things.
The more we know about this world, the better we can do in changing it.
So welcome to Better World.
And our exploration of deep, deep house.
Full-time house. Full-time is like the next word to pop in my vocabulary.
In your lingo?
Yesterday I tried to use the word... I tried to use the word Linda as a verb. Like, what was the fucking context of this? Hold on, let me pull up the context. It was so funny.
Do you feel it's that important?
Yeah, it is. Yes. Because we have a guest on the show. Bill really has no idea who the fuck I am. Just, so why don't you I feel like it's like context into my soul.
All right. 8 billion plastic bottles end up in the ocean. He's already eye-rolling me for the statistics again. Fine, we won't talk about how many plastic bottles are produced in the U.S. or how much of a fucking waste it is or all the microbeads that we're drinking in our water just yet. We'll leave it to Bill. Bill, thanks for coming on the pod and welcome.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Bill, I'm staring at this water bottle of yours. Do you want to tell me what the heck it is?
Sure.
It looks interesting.
Oh, I thank you.
Yeah.
It is, well... This is one of our products, which is a vacuum-insulated, double-wall stainless steel bottle, and it's sort of our version of that product. I mean, there are other bottles out there, but, you know, I guess we'll talk more about this. Mm-hmm. I mean, my, you know, goal was to try to create alternatives to single-use plastics, and so we originally started with single-use items, mm-hmm. looking at the way, like, what are the worst offenders and things that we could improve on, and knowing that, you know, the most sustainable option is never going to really be a single-use item. We also wanted to create reusables, and so started looking at all the bottles on the market and started asking people, like, well, do you love yours? And it turned out about maybe like one out of every 15 people actually loved theirs, and the rest were kind of just like, yeah, it's okay.
Yeah, it's okay.
So we're like, well, what would you improve? You know, and I had a bunch of them myself, and I thought, well, okay, these are some things we'd improve, and so we kind of created our version of what we think is the best reusable bottle, and, you know, we don't think it has to be ours and only ours, but we just wanted to make something that we really were.
And your company is NACO.
Company is called NACO. I guess we'll talk more about that too. But
NAECO.
NAECO, yeah. Our mission is to help reverse plastics primarily in the ocean. Mm. And actually, NACO is the word ocean reverse.
Oh, sick.
Brilliant. I'm in.
Your mind just got blown. I saw it live and in real time.
It did because...
comes out of a K-hole.
Shit, I can't even say what I'm about to say because it will, like... because of, like, identity theft. Never mind. I'm going to circle back to Linda for a second. It has to do with my computer passwords and that word.
Okay. I don't think you want to say that.
What's the last four of your social, bro?
Let's exactly. So, I was on... I'm on, like, a WhatsApp group chat about... some pitch or whatever, and we're like working over the weekend, and I like sent through a bunch of notes on feedback, but like my phone was acting up, so I sent it through on WhatsApp as a PDF, and I prefaced it by saying, cool, sorry for the PDF notes, like a Linda, my phone is being weird as fuck, and no one replied to it, but like
also,
what I'm trying
to
say,
we just lost 50,000 viewers for that story.
But I just feel like Linda, while a powerful and ferocious name, is also a name of like
Easy Susan.
Like in Broad City, they have that sketch about how like all Lindas work in HR at big companies.
Yep.
So like that's where I'm coming from. On this.
Okay.
Anyway, oceans.
It's good. Solid segue. Almost as good as a statistic, but not quite. Actually, we have to cut this straight to a commercial break. Just to our first one.
We'd like to thank Rogue Power Surge Protectors.
Rogue Power Surge Protectors, but we'd really like to thank Hank. Shout out to all of our team at smileradio.fm, especially Jimmy. He's a hero.
Yeah. Couldn't do it without you, buddy.
Couldn't do it without you. Thanks for everything. You guys are the best. We really appreciate everything you do. And shout out to Smile to Go.
Smileradio.fm.
Smileradio.fm. Chicken.
Chicken.
Chicken. And we're back. Okay, so We were just about to start digging into everything and anything that had to do with plastic. Tell me the history of how you guys got here, because reusables are probably the only way to save it. Aren't they?
That's long term, yeah, I that's think it. So.
We've got to be adults here. We got to bring our own water bottle.
It being planet Earth.
Thank you. Okay. The big it.
Yeah.
The big IT.
Well, it really being us, right? Like, also I think us. Planet Earth probably be okay long term.
Humanity.
It's not colliding into the sun just yet.
We will be a little blip in its history.
That's still are.
Which, you know, not to be kind of a.
No, we're an ass pimple. It's fine.
Yeah.
That's disgusting.
How do you really feel? I'm so sad that they can't see the facial expressions that you give me. They're incredible.
I mean, it is crazy if you think about it, right? Like, plastic really was invented, or at least became widely available, in like the 1950s and really not until the 60s.
Right.
And in that time, you know, we've tripled in human population and have just seen this dramatic increase in its effect on our environment and on us. And we're kind of just beginning to understand that.
What are some of the effects that really just set you on passionately on this project?
Well, I mean, for me personally, I'm actually a diver, a scuba diver, ocean enthusiast. I was almost a marine biologist, but kind of chose a different
coral
path.
So coral bleaching and just the occasional bottle floating by you really just...
It, you know, it was more than that. I mean, it literally was seeing more and more plastic on dives in the ocean.
Oh, wow.
And actually about 3 years ago, I finally had the chance to go on a trip. I just was like dreaming of going to Indonesia. To this place, the Lembe Strait, which is known as like the macro capital of the world. And you see these beautiful photographs from there. And I'm really into photography too. So,
isn't Indonesia one of the most plastic infested areas of the ocean right now?
It's, well, I mean, it's an island nation. Right. So, you know, they have issues around lack of infrastructure and education in the same way that we do. It's just a little bit different. And I think they're closer to the ocean. So, I mean, they are, yes, probably per capita. Well, maybe not per capita, but just in terms of gross amounts, one of the larger contributors, but it's not like the problem is just coming from there. And I think that's a big misconception. But yeah, I went to this place I was like dreaming of going to, and actually got there, and you know, I was supposed to spend a week, and it was so filled with trash and plastic. It's this little strait, so it's kind of a shallow, you know, area, but it's really biodiverse. And I'd seen it before, but that was kind of the moment, you know, there was so much in that, in the water. You're just diving in it, and things are living in it, and it felt like this is, I don't know, I just, for me, that was the moment where I was like, okay, I've had enough. I cut the trip short and started thinking about what, you know, I could do to help make a difference, and how I could, you know, ultimately look at the practices that we have, and you know, how can we improve, what are some products maybe that we can create. We need to start talking about this.
So and, we started, you know, with water bottle, but you're going, you know, like full spectrum.
Yeah. So actually, funny enough, it started around developing a better coffee lid.
Oh.
I was kind of working on a design for a better coffee lid at the time.
That's
which
cool.
Which is one of these little products that, you know, most people just don't think about. And yet, you know, in the U.S., we use about 100 million disposable coffee cups and lids every day. So 100 million going into landfill. Most of them plastic, most polystyrene.
That's insane.
Right? I mean... And these big statistics are kind of hard to get. You're not a statistics guy, but
then no, he's really. You got that, didn't you? He's been here 10 minutes, BZ.
No. But I actually think it's. I'm not either, because I think that, as you know,
you can't really imagine it, right?
I see. You have coffee lids and cups.
We're unable to get our head around these things. But if you just imagine, I mean, living in New York, right? There's what, 8 million people working in Manhattan. Imagine everybody having one, maybe two cups. Not everybody, but. Most of those people, and just think of where that goes, and then start.
Imagine them just
it, right?
Piling them up in an empty lot, right?
Yeah.
You know, like right before like the giant building goes up, you could fucking build a skyscraper out of lids. It's nuts.
It's nuts. I want to find an artist to partner with, if anybody's listening. That
nobody's listening. Make a... You're shouting into the void right now.
But I mean, an artist that wants to get involved to make actually like a massive coffee cup that's just made out of. Coffee cups and lids, and put it in like one of the midtown squares that's like 30 feet high.
I'm
and
be so like, down.
This is the amount of coffee cups we use every single day. Because I think when you visually can see something, you know, 100
just
million,
glue
like 100
million
is,
lids
you know?
Together.
Jeez. So it's 100 million per day.
And yeah.
How do you like them?
Just in the U.S.
How much do you think we should get the smile to switch over?
Definitely, yeah. They have polystyrene. I just noticed.
Yeah, they do.
So we developed the first actually biodegradable lid.
Gaslighting smile.
It's not. It's making it better.
Okay.
We all can do better.
We
don't
all
have to
can do better.
Be perfect. You have to be better.
That's exactly.
Correct. Yeah.
That's true. And actually, that's really
line,
important. I think we talk about that a lot. Like, you know, it's about progress, not perfection.
Mm-hmm.
And you hear now a lot of people talking about things like plastic free,
double
zero waste, line. And
mm-hmm. progress, think, not perfection, all day. Make it better.
Tagline it up.
Well, I mean, it's you know, we're just trying to get about, you know, live our lives, and people have to go to work and
right.
raise families and do whatever, you know, and mm-hmm. you've got to eat. And so it's hard to look at this issue and go, well, I can't be plastic free. That's impossible. And so
right.
people just want to give up. But mm. it is really about making those little changes that can actually, if you multiply that times, obviously, billions of people.
So coffee lids were where you started. And so now you have coffee lids, water bottles. What's...
But wait, can we go back to the dive? Are you, do you free dive?
No.
Oh, okay.
I'd love to.
Okay.
I've never tried.
Do you have a dream of free diving in Tonga with the whales?
Well,
tell me about it.
The next logical question is, how long can you hold your breath for?
Oh boy, here we go.
It's great. I don't know how I was able to do it. I haven't really tried to train, but in a like seminar thing for about 2 minutes.
Are you allergic to the topic today? Is that what it is?
No, I think it helps to have other context into people's lives. You know?
How long can you hold your breath for, bro? Do you want to arm wrestle later?
Maybe this should be, should we just switch this whole podcast topically to like some ASMR type show where we just talk slowly?
No. Our second podcast after we achieve fame for doing good is going to be called The K-Hole of Your Brain.
Okay.
So nice. You have this current distribution of products, right? So tell us a little bit about what you guys are doing now, because you went coffee lids and then where'd you go?
Sure. So yeah, we were looking at, okay, what are the biggest offenders, right? And so you could take part of a major part of what's in the ocean is fishing gear, fishing
right.
nets, right? But we can't necessarily, at least personally, I was like, I don't know where to start with that.
Mm.
But we could look at all these other items like coffee lids and bottles and cups and other things that are, you know, packaging items.
Amazing.
And so like, how can we create alternatives that are at least more sustainable? And it started with the coffee lid. We actually did develop the first and I think currently only biodegradable lid.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, we've got a line of single-use products, but we also realized if you're really talking about sustainability and reducing impact that, you know, it's not good enough to stop with single-use alternatives, because we know they're sort of necessary right now in some cases. You know, you've got to meet people close to where they are.
Right.
But yeah, we wanted to create reusables. And so that's why, you know, we developed a new bottle. We do stainless steel straws. We're in the process of developing a reusable coffee cup. And we're trying to look at other items that we think are helpful, because you know, mm-hmm. we also don't want to just put out a bunch of products and say, you know, hey, we've created this solution, if there's not a real demand and we don't
right.
think they're actually going to move the needle. In fact, the first lid we developed, or I developed, was a compostable lid made from plant material. Sounds great, but mm-hmm. kind of looks and feels like plastic. And you know, that's actually so, but the problem is if it doesn't get to an industrial compost facility, it doesn't actually break down.
Right.
So, you know, I kind of realized that and thought through the challenges of, you know, what are most people going to do with it? Where is it going to ultimately go? I don't think
landfill.
It was probably landfill. So we actually shelved that product. Mm-hmm. I mean, we killed it, except I think there might be a day where people have understood, you know, compost bins are going to be more readily accessible or in other markets. And maybe it actually will be a good mm-hmm. product. But until that day, we're not going to put that out. So,
right.
You know, there's some materials and some products where that's actually still the best thing currently available. And you know, our approach is to kind of say, not just to stop halfway and just say like, hey, this is cool, it's made from plants,
right?
You know, as some other products do. I mean, I think the whole point is what's ultimately happening to that product, where does it go, and then what happens after that,
what's the life cycle of the product, right?
Exactly. And so if it's not really closed loop, if it's the best thing we've got now, we might say, you know, this is the best thing we currently have, and so, you know, we're working on it. But I think our goal is to try to be transparent.
It's a very important point to every single one of our listeners, that because the cornstarch alternative is so prolific, that if you are not conscious of the life cycle of what is required for that really trying to be good product to manifest its good destiny,
mm-hmm.
it's just going to go into the trash, and it's going to live forever like a plastic. It's not as bad, but it's still not good enough.
Correct. Yeah, no, that's true. And if you don't live in a market, like the whole state of Florida, there's no compost facility.
Mm.
So a lot of the businesses are obviously interested in doing something better. But yeah, if you buy compostables, and I guess, you know, it does raise the question of then, okay, well, what should I do? Right. And so, I mean,
we've got an answer for you. It's a bottle.
Yeah.
And you should reuse it.
True. I mean, a reusable is always going to be the best option.
Right.
And I think, though, as people here or even in other places are learning that fact that, oh, my gosh, like this thing doesn't just melt next time it rains. It's a compostable thing that needs to get to a compost facility. Maybe that'll influence your buying decision, too. Right. Right. And so it'll influence what you're going to do with it.
Right.
I mean, and that's a big part of this movement, I think.
Right.
It's just understanding. And it's confusing. I mean, admittedly, I don't think
it's legitimately confusing.
Yeah.
You're doing like the Pepsi challenge with plastic versus compostable equipment. Where does this go? Can I get a fucking map?
Yeah. And no, it's really tough. I mean, and I've been trying to think of ways to help make it easier for people to understand. I mean, again, that's why if you just reuse a bottle that's like stainless steel, it's very easy to understand.
Cut and dry.
Cut
and dry.
But
what does the future look like for you then? So we start with the bottle, but you know, on a real crusade to remove plastic from the ocean, what does it look like?
And are you selling completely online right now, or are you sold in stores as well?
We're doing so. You know, we just launched this year, and we're selling online on getnaco.com. And we've been doing a lot of sort of co-branding opportunities with other companies. So, for instance, we've been doing a pretty big initiative with Edition Hotels. Chose a bottle as their favorite design, wanted to get rid of plastic throughout their whole operation.
Right.
Super cool.
And so, yeah, I mean, and they've been a fantastic partner. Previously, they were using between 70,000 and 100,000 plastic bottles per location per year.
Really?
Just for staff.
Wow.
And wow. Yeah, I mean, it adds up. And so they, you know, we now do a co-branded version of the NACO bottle with the Edition logo, and they have this whole campaign called Stay Plastic Free.
Amazing.
And every employee worldwide has one, and they use zero plastic bottles.
Wow.
So that's been pretty cool.
They're right in the neighborhood right here.
What do they substitute it with?
Well, they have a bottle. So they have water stations and, you know.
Oh, just like, so they straight up did the plumbing too.
They just, yeah, they put in refillable water stations and everyone's a bottle. They sell it to guests as well, but it's, you know, it's been a great program. And that's something that we feel really good about because it's like a quantifiable reduction that, you know, is going to continue year over year, and you know, they love it. They're actually happier. And
so you have like a comparable amenities program to an extent, or these ways in which you can work with enterprise organizations to create more positive change. Do you feel then that your growth is on the water bottle side of the fence exclusively, or are you going to diversify product lines to try and solve, or is it just this deep dive into enterprise, you know? Which way are you thinking?
You know, it's interesting. We're kind of in the, I guess we're figuring it out. I think that it'll definitely be a mix of B2B co-branding programs as well as, you know, retail and consumer. And then on the product side, I mean, you know, I do really want to be careful that we're not just putting out a ton of product. I mean,
right.
I think the bottle is a really great place. And, you know, we know there's other bottle companies. But again, I feel like it's a growing market. A lot of folks don't really connect with the bottles they have, and so therefore they don't really use them.
Okay.
And so we think it's a great opportunity to at least, you know, develop in that space for a little while. You know, and it's a great product to be involved with because when people actually really love it, they use it, they keep it with them every day, and it's like, okay, they leave their house with their phone, their wallet, their keys, and their bottle. And I'm not suggesting, you know, you have to keep it with you at all times, but, you know, it's nice to have that kind of connection with the consumer. And so we'll look at other products where I think we can add value and kind of enhance people's daily lives, which is really the goal.
Yeah. You can also make accessories for your bottle as long as they're. Because I do have a, I don't know the brand. I have a water bottle that doesn't have a handle, similar to yours.
Mm-hmm.
And I find I'm wanting for a handle top or something, you know what I mean, like a top that has a hook that I can like put a carabiner on or attach to a backpack.
He loves a carabiner.
Love a carabiner.
I do too. I mean, our first this style doesn't have one, but I think, you know, we'll either make a different top or just, you know, create a different style.
Yeah.
So we're actually also working on a reusable coffee cup.
Great.
And there are a couple others out there, but there's not really a leader in that space. Mm-hmm. There's not kind of that one thing.
Keep.
And Keep's doing really well in Australia and the UK, and I think, you know, they're doing some stuff here. You know, that style isn't for everyone, but it's right. very unique. And so, like, they've got their thing, and I feel like, you know, we're trying to figure out what ours is going to be. But, you know, particularly for folks who, like, if you leave your office every day at 3 o'clock and you go to the same coffee shop to just take a break, like, why wouldn't you bring your own cup?
Right.
You'll get a discount. It'll pay for itself over time.
Literally.
And we, you know, we found, like, people don't necessarily, I mean, some will, but to have, like, a Starbucks branded mug or something, you know, because then you feel awkward about taking it into a different shop. So
as a diver who wants to clean the oceans, I see you talking about the reusable solution, leaning heavily on it. My brain wants to pick your mind, particularly after talking with Leo, founder of Buffy, about what you do with existing plastic that's in the ecosystem by virtue of it having been produced and dumped into trash island the size of Texas and the Pacific. Do you believe that there are uses for past plastic that keep it in the ecosystem, or do you lean more towards waiting for, like, the microbe solution that eats the plastic to come along and solve the whole thing for us?
I'm terrified of the microbe solution because
right.
I mean, if it can eat this indestructible material, like, where does it stop?
Yeah, literally, they're coming for us. It's right. a zombie apocalypse.
But yeah, I mean, I think that it's amazing there are other folks working on that side of things, and so I feel like, you know, this isn't an issue that any one person or company is going to be able to right. solve, and I would never claim to, but I do think it's cool, and there are folks who, you know, like Buffy and some other manufacturers that are using, I guess, recycle. Well, I don't know Buffy's whole thing. I know they've got a couple different materials, but I think the one place where it, like, at least polyethylene can be reused right. is in sort of synthetic fibers.
Yes.
And it's, I mean, it's a bittersweet
terrifying
situation.
Terrifying to put it on your skin, though, right?
Very.
Now,
yes.
Now we know what we know.
Well, and, you know, also for for fabrics that are being washed regularly, we know that they're shedding microplastics, yeah. which yeah. are then getting into our water stream and into the ocean in a way that will never be recoverable.
Right.
Yeah.
So even though a lot of the plastic in the ocean right now is probably not recoverable in reality, I think that to, you know, convert it to a form that can be, like, definitely can't be recovered.
Right.
Is
it really freaks
scary.
Me out with that stuff and, like, plastic clothing, that, yeah. like clothing made from, like, recycled materials and
right.
like. Mm-hmm. Fleece made from plastic,
right?
Soda bottles, because it does affect your skin. People with sensitive skin, like, really,
I think that's,
maybe they have dermatitis or rosacea or, like, conditions like that, and it's not good for them.
Yeah, it's probably true. I mean, yeah, I think most athletic wear is some sort of synthetic material.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I guess the question becomes, well, okay, if we're going to use that stuff to begin with, or at least, you know, should it be from a recycled source or a virgin source? And if we can use the material for recycled fabric, I guess that's better, but I wouldn't right. certainly think that, you know, we need more of those products in the market.
Yeah. It's a supply chain question too, that I don't think any of us know.
Fair.
Right.
That's true.
Because it might take, like, a shit ton of fresh water to recycle.
Oof.
Like it does denim.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. I mean, and that's actually another thing with recycling. I mean, we chose, for instance, with the bottle, we chose metal.
Metal
recyclable. Is infinitely recyclable and actually can be turned back into the same product.
Yep.
Plastics really can't be recycled. They can sort of be downcycled right. maybe once or twice. They lose their
and
tensile
only
strength.
Certain classes.
Exactly.
It's like a 1, 4, 6. You can't fuck with the threes anymore. It's
yeah, there's very low, either low demand or just low performance.
Right.
And so, I mean, maybe if there's a better aftermarket, we'll see, you know, higher recycling numbers. But, you know, I think with the level of production combined with the potential aftermarket use, it's hard to see how that evens out.
It's nuts. We are going to take one more commercial break before we come back and talk about what the average user can do. Barnett, I know that this product is near and dear to your heart because today's sponsor is Blue Land.
Love Blue Land.
Love
refillables.
Blue Land. Refillables.
Mm-hmm.
Cleaning materials, blueland.com, cause a tremendous carbon footprint, liquid ones, when being shipped to and fro, because they're heavy. Blueland has devised a non-plastic bottle that allows you to drop in a simple little pill tablet to make your cleaning solution. Go to blueland.com, check it out. It's only $12. I ordered it, and it smells delish.
And you're going to want to talk to the chief cleaning officer of your household about this?
Yes, you are.
Yeah.
check in with the CCO.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. BlueLand.com.
At BlueLand.
At BlueLand. Shout out. Thanks, guys. And we're back. So what do you think the average consumer can do other than heading to NACO, that's oceanspelledbackwards.com, and purchasing a bottle and thinking about some of the more reusable functions? Because you've talked about coffee and ancillary juice, smoothies. You know, we go out and we buy the same things ritualistically every day. Sweetgreen 4 times a week. So, hey, man, go get a reusable tin and throw your salad in that, right? So what this idea of identifying what in your life can be substituted with reusables sounds like a great place to start. But what else do you think we would tell the user and listener?
Well, I mean, another thing people can do, which I think is actually really powerful, is if you're motivated enough to just tell the businesses that you go to that you like, that you'd like them to switch. Because what we found actually is, you know, there's just a big gap where obviously, you know, everyone running a business is cost conscious and, you know, just focused on whatever it is that they do. But what we found is, you know, in most cases, like consumers, people, us, like we don't necessarily just want the cheapest thing available.
It's the enterprise sales opportunity for you guys. You go through 20 gallon tons, whatever it is, of Poland Spring bottles. Hey, why don't I give you one of these for every employee that you have, plus some extras, and you guys use this instead? And it can be an HR benefit.
Sure, exactly. Or even, you know, like this coffee shop, the restaurant here, like if you just say, hey, like, I love what you guys do, but could you please switch it? I just hate that you're using plastic.
Right.
You know, in some constructive way. Right,
where I work and where I shop.
Right. Right. Because what we find is a lot of times businesses will actually look, you know, of course, they're like, wow, it's a little more expensive. It's about 1 or 2 cents more. But we found that, you know, people are happily willing to pay that little difference.
If I pass it along in the market.
$3, it's different. But if you just said, look, if you're going to charge me 5 cents extra and you're going to switch your packaging, let's do it.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And so, but they'll look at the log and say, well, you know, you don't really have any complaints about that. And so
be mindful of where you shop and where you work and put it in the suggestion box, people.
Yeah.
But also, like, all studies, super modern era trend research on consumer behavior shows that people will spend more for something that's more sustainable. So it's just a matter of including
in which you live
in your messaging, whether that's like up front at the register,
right?
Or like if a cup of coffee does increase by 5 cents, then tell them why, you know?
Our cup of coffee increased by 5 cents because we're saving the world.
I'd love for you to switch and I'm happy to, if it's 5 cents, I'll pay it.
Yeah.
And if they have, you know, I mean, Trader Joe's is, so I don't know the details, but they actually just announced a couple weeks ago that they are going to phase out at least a significant number of plastic items based on a petition from customers. And so that kind of just shows the power of, you know, putting something in writing. Enough of their customers said, hey, this is something, like, they know it's there, but then when it's just, they actually have a written log of it, it makes it that much easier to also run it up their flagpole and make a decision internally.
Totally.
So, I mean, you know, I think that's a really powerful thing that we could all do. You don't have to be an activist. It's just literally whatever place you like going to, if you could just tell them.
Right.
And if you could write them, even shoot them an email or send them something on social media, that's right. It will make a massive difference.
Really impactful, strong advice. Bill, thank you so much for coming by. This is a super interesting conversation, despite Barnett's propensity to take us off track. Or on track.
Sorry.
Right, not. This is color. This is flavor. This is why we live.
Mm-hmm. It's flavor.
It's flavor.
Full-time flavor.
BZ, you want to take us out?
Yeah, which I queue up on the
thank
outro.
You, Bill, again for coming through. And everyone, please take a look, NAECO.com. Water bottles, coffee lids.
It's actually get NACO.
Fail. So. GetNACO.com. Okay. Ocean spelled backwards, everyone. And Instagram is at NACO.
Yes. Yeah, everything else is just
it's kind of cute logo. It's pretty great.
Thanks.
You guys should check it out. I just tagged him. Always going back to the oldies, but the goodies. Oh, no, wait. It's the new flavor. Thank you for joining us. I am Henry Lin.
And I'm Barnett Zidrin.
And this is Better World.
@itsbetter.world.
Go on, make the world a better place. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, all.